Good morning. The kids are getting ready and heading downstairs, running away. Good plan. As I read the scripture for this morning, and Patrick was still looking for somebody to speak, I thought, what a great chance to review my evangelism class. When you look at the scripture from this morning, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. 1 and 2 Timothy is completely about Paul equipping Timothy to evangelize, to build these churches up, to create teachers, and to create leaders from the people that are there. That's what we're going to talk about today. If my clicker works. There we go. So to do these things, we have to have a plan. Everything starts with a plan, right? I have a plan. What's our plan? What do we have to do to be prepared to share the gospel, to build this congregation and other congregations to come after it up? Because other congregations will come after it. When we were working in Albania, one of the hardest things was the city that we lived in had a university. And we were really excited about that when we moved there, because it's a university town. Everybody comes there. Well, the problem is that the people that come there for university leave there after they're done with university. And the people that don't want to go to university in that city are going to go somewhere else. So if you have teens that come in, they're going to leave. If you have older young professionals that come in to finish master's and doctorate degrees, they're going to come in and they may be there for a while, but they're going to leave. So we finally realized that our job was to strengthen them while they were with us. Southside has had a similar history. We are not as transient as this church in Korcha has been, but people come and people go. The jobs ebb and flow. Faces change. So our job is to have family and have communion with those people while they're here, but to build them up, to strengthen them. So that's our plan. Our plan is to help them have the tools that they need to do this. And that's going to help us also in our evangelism of those who are not in the body. So the first thing is, we got to stay free of worldly traps. I promise this is the most shocking slide that I have. We've got to stay free of these worldly traps. When you look at this, this is the foolish and stupid arguments. These are the arguments that draw us away from the central point of the gospel. These are the things that take our minds, our attention, and our time and keep us from doing what needs to be done. From sharing the truth that Jesus lived and died because we are sinners, we can't save ourselves, and we needed him to do it. And his love drove him there. So we have to stay free of the worldly traps. We have to stay pure of heart. This is our plan. We're going to avoid worldly traps. We're going to keep ourselves pure of heart. What does pure of heart look like? Well, for us, for me, I don't necessarily have a mind that tends to stay on that pure of heart track all by itself. I get sidetracked. I find other things that interest me. And sometimes those other things lead me towards sin. So for my heart to stay pure, for my mind to stay focused, I have to keep it focused on the cross. I have to keep it focused on Christ. So this is our plan, to stay free from those worldly traps and to remain pure of heart, keeping ourselves focused on Christ. The last part of our plan is to teach. if I am simply staying away from the worldly traps, not allowing myself to be distracted, not allowing myself to get run down trails that I shouldn't be on, if I'm keeping myself pure of heart and I'm living my best life and doing everything that I need for me, I'm still not doing what I need to do for you. Because we're told, what you have received, freely give. And I've received the gift of a life that is free because of Christ's sacrifice. And so my greatest desire should be to make sure that everyone sitting in this audience right now, anyone who is online listening, anyone that I meet, has that gift as well. And if I'm not teaching, I'm not doing that. Now, teaching involves spreading the gospel. What is the gospel? Anybody, shout it out. The good news of Jesus, okay? How do you express that to somebody who doesn't know Jesus? There are still people in our society today walking around who don't know when we say it's the gospel is the good news. They don't know that that means that they can be set free from sin. They may not even know that they're lost in sin right now. And so we have to have tools, and we talked about this in the evangelism class. We have to have tools, and we have to ways to reach people and to share that. And so in spreading the gospel, that's the first part of teaching. We have to do it ourselves. The other thing we have to do is prepare other people to not be unprepared when they walk out into the world, because everybody, just about, when we were talking about evangelism, who felt completely prepared when I finished my evangelism class? Like, Kevin, you did awesome. Let's go. Okay, good. We need to be prepared. We need to feel like we know who God is. We know who Jesus is. We know who the Spirit is. We know how each of those people is working in our life, and we can share that with other people. We have to be so comfortable with this, so have it so ingrained that we don't even really have to think about how to share it anymore. If you're a Packers fan, do you have to think really hard to share how the season is going right now? To have a conversation about Aaron Rodgers and how he's won two MVPs, the techniques that he's used, you probably know quite a bit about that. As a San Francisco Giants fan growing up, I'll tell you, I didn't have to have a lot of time to have a conversation about how good Jack Clark was and how much Will Clark was. You know, yeah, he's come in, but he's not as good as Jack. None of you know who those guys are. How many of us, myself included, are ready to have a conversation about Scripture, about the gospel, in the same way that we're ready to talk about the Packers or the Bucks or anything else that drives us in our lives? That's how comfortable I want this congregation to be with the gospel. That's how comfortable I want us to be with Scripture. We've got to prepare leaders. Patrick has talked about it. The elders have talked about it. I've talked about it. Mentoring is huge. All of this teaching leads to mentoring. It's all mentoring. Whether it's being a ministry leader and seeing, hey, that person is kind of on the fringe. They're a little bit plugged in, but not really there yet. And bringing them in and teaching them how to do the ministry. I need to get better at this. Otto's sitting back at the desk right now. I have several other people that sit where I sat for almost 2 years and help with the live stream now. I need to get better at sharing with them how I learned to problem solve. Because sometimes when you're sitting there, something happens, and there is no rule book of what's supposed to happen when this goes wrong, because it's never gone wrong before. Kind of like the song. I don't know. I recorded it. It seemed perfect when I recorded it, but It seemed kind of fast this morning. So when something like that happens, I think Ben went in and changed the setting. I'm not sure. I just got lucky. Okay. Sometimes when something like that happens, you can actually go in and fix it. Other times, you can't. When we're preparing leaders, it's looking at who is there that has not necessarily ability, but desire. Who's willing to put themselves out? So when we have a plan, that plan needs to be to stay free of those worldly traps. It needs to be to remain pure in heart by focusing our lives on Jesus, by walking with him daily. And it needs to be on teaching so that we are comfortable with the gospel. We can share that gospel with other people and create other teachers. And then from those teachers, we can find other leaders for this congregation and for other congregations. Plan is great. Plan is a good thing. It's where you start. But after that plan, you have to have a strategy of how you're going to implement that plan. Because just a plan, you can have a plan. And it can be written down. And you can know it by heart. But if you don't have a strategy of implementing that plan, it's still just going to be a plan, and it's going to sit there on that piece of paper. So what's our strategy for staying free of worldly traps, remaining pure of heart, and teaching others and ourselves? The first step is that we have to be kind. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. Deep breath. Everyone. That's not easy. It's really hard, especially when the everyone that's sitting across from you is someone who wants to drag you into foolish and stupid arguments. But God calls us to be kind even to that person. So that's the first thing that we have to have in our strategy. Something that was important for Timothy. There were people that he was dealing with face to face who were leaders in the church that weren't teaching what they should be teaching. And he had to talk with them. He had to work with them side by side. So being kind is the first major step in being able to implement the plan that we have. Because if we're not kind when we approach someone with the gospel, they're not going to want to listen. Someone who doesn't realize that they're lost in sin is not going to want to sit and listen to you tell them how lost in sin they are if you come to them and say, "You're going to burn in hell." That's not a good opener. So that kindness and love has to be central for us to be able to implement our plan. The next one is threefold. We have to be energetic, we have to be charitable, and we have to be kind-hearted. Energetic is really easy for short periods of time. Again, working as a missionary in Albania, many summers I had scripture quoted to me encouraging me to not grow weary in doing good. Thank you, six-week campaigner. I love you dearly, and I am glad that you are here. However, I am helping you find your food. I have secured your housing before you arrived, and I am still doing all of my jobs while I take you around, show you the country, and introduce you to Albanian culture. But I will not grow tired, I promise. In all seriousness, though, that energy shows. When we, as leadership, start to feel burned out, we don't teach as well. We don't reach out to people as well, and we don't shepherd as well as we should. But what about us as simple Christians? What about you sitting there in the pews right now looking at me? What happens when you don't have energy? What happens when you go through the checkout line and the person right in front of you checking out is really crabby with the cashier? And the cashier is not a cashier who can allow it to just roll off their back and have a smile on their face when you get there. And their day is starting to go downhill. If you're tired and your energy is low, odds are that their day is going to keep going down. And there's not going to be a thing you can do about it. But if your energy is high, if you're connected to God and rooted in Him, you're going to find something. There's going to be something that pricks the back of your ear and says, hey, say this, share this. Or you're going to know that they just need a smile and a kind word to let them know that, hey, that was really rough. You'd handled it way better than I expected. And sometimes that's all that somebody needs. But if we're depleted of energy ourselves, we can't do that. So we have to maintain that energy. Being charitable. Giving. Giving of ourselves, giving of our possessions, giving of our money, our time, giving of our grace and forgiveness. We have to be charitable in those ways too. It's easy to think about the things that are material that we give away or the time that we give away. But one of the ways that I think that we have to be the most charitable is with our grace and mercy toward others, especially those who are not in Christ. They don't understand. They don't have the Spirit. They are still lost. We have to have grace and mercy with our brothers and sisters as well. But when we're dealing with someone who hasn't come to know Christ yet, there has to be an extra special measure for them. Being kind-hearted, well, pretty simple. I mean, caring for other people, putting other people in front of ourselves, worrying about their needs. That's why being energetic is important too, because we all have needs. Every one of us, even if we're givers, at some point we have a need that needs to be fulfilled, and we need to lean on other people to see that realized. So being energetic, charitable, and kind-hearted. Three words to just simply say, don't be resentful. Think about it. When you see that person who is bubbly and energetic and you're not feeling that, are you happy for that person? Or do you go, oh, okay, you maybe coffee will help. When you see someone who is a joyful giver, when you have someone who needs your grace or your forgiveness, do you resent having to give that grace and forgiveness? When you're just really not feeling like putting other people in front of yourself, when you feel like there's so much on your plate that you're never going to catch up with it, are you resentful when you get that call to help? To be able to stay with our plan, to be free of those worldly traps, to remain pure of heart and to teach others about the gospel and about what it is to be saved, we have to find it in ourselves and in our relationship with God to be energetic, charitable, and kind-hearted, rather than becoming resentful of what is asked of us. The last part of this section is that we have to be equipped. Now, we spent an entire quarter of me trying to give you tools trying to share with you history and strategies for expressing to others the gospel and what it means in your life, for evangelizing others. One of the things that was asked for during that time was an app or something that we could have on a phone that we could use, some kind of program that we knew and could follow. And I'll tell you, when I was doing that class, I looked for something that consolidated a lot of different things into one place and worked well. I didn't find it. And so I did my best to give you different tools that you could use to equip you in that way. Well, when we were at the preacher's retreat at the end of September, I was sitting and listening, and there were two gentlemen from Texas that were going to be presenting. Not preachers, not missionaries, not ministers, not elders, just two simple church-going members who had started using this program. And the other day, I was in the room where the Spanish congregation meets, moving chairs around and setting things up, and I happened to look up at their bulletin board. And right there on their bulletin board, in Spanish, are the materials that these two men were talking about. And I thought, well, this is definitely a sign that I need to start doing this. And it's called Gospel Share Missions. There's actually an app that you can get on your phone that will link you to videos on YouTube that will help to train you. There are all the materials that you could possibly need that you can access through the app. There's also a training course that we're going to start going through. Now, Gospel Share Missions is, from what I see, very good. The gentleman who put it together is not someone that I know directly, but I definitely know of him, and we have some connection through people as well. But this gives us the tools. It gives us a way to use them, and it gives one of the things that was asked for, which is an app. And so going forward, this will be part of our way of being equipped. We're going to start using it. The first thing that it does is it gives you a big vision, going from global to local to personal, and it gives you a clear path. Here, this middle one right here, which you really can't see, I'm sure, is called a Four Fields Overview, and it's how you evangelize someone who is new to the gospel. You start with an empty field, and then the seed into the field of the gospel, sharing it with that person. And then the next part is a growing field where they're learning and they're being called to discipleship. And the fourth field is the harvest, where we take those people who have become disciples and now are ready to start being leaders and start teaching other people themselves. There's a lot of really cool things here. There's a new way to do Bible studies that I'm starting to learn, and I'm going to encourage some people to try this out, hopefully in small groups. I'd love to see us get more small groups going again here so that we can build that family. So this is going to be a tool going forward. I'm not sure how we're going to deliver it yet. That's going to be something that I'm going to be asking you to help me with, because I feel like we need to have another class similar to the evangelism class. However, it's going to be a lot shorter and more condensed, and I don't want it to be a Sunday morning class. So we need to figure out a time where we can do that, and I can record them, and people who can't be there can watch it. So we have to have a plan. We have to stay free from worldly traps. We have to remain pure of heart. We have to teach and learn ourselves. To implement that plan, we have to intentionally be kind in our daily lives. We have to be energetic, charitable and kind-hearted, and we have to be equipped with the tools to do this. Wow, this is easy. We're done, right? How do we do that? We've got a plan and we've got a strategy, but how do we stay with that strategy? How do we not get lost? How do we not stumble? How do we not fall? Have patience. Have patience with ourselves. Have patience with the people that we're going to be attempting to evangelize. Have patience with our brothers and sisters that are sitting in the pews with us right now. Have patience with our brothers and sisters that are at home watching online right now. That's the start. But how do we, patience. Long-suffering, guys. How do we do that? How do we have patience? Well, the first step is to be loving. Loving of ourselves, loving of God, and loving of the people around us. If we can love through differences, if we can love through difficulties, we've won. Even today, listening to Jeff in Bible class, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. Oh, there it is. I don't care. God wins. For us, whether there is persecution coming from the government or whether there is blessing coming from the government, there should be no difference to how we follow God. So, to me, when I look at church history, persecution actually provided a lot more growth than the consent and the promotion by government of the church ever did. Real growth. So, be loving. Love each other. Love God. And love the fact that you know that your life is secure. That you are walking with Him daily. The next thing after being loving is that we have to be grounded in Scripture. We have to know the Word. When I was baptized, it was still on the edge of the churches of Christ being known as people who knew book, chapter, and verse for anything that you could bring up. I think we have come quite a ways away from being able to say that we're a people that can do that. I know I can be better at it myself. I know Scripture. I can quote things, but I can't tell you necessarily where it is. Well, not saying that I think that we have to be able to quote and say exactly where something is with chapter and verse, but I think that we need to be able to get there within 5 to 10 minutes if we're going to be quoting it. So we need to be grounded in Scripture. How do we do that? We need to study. We need to study in groups. We need to study individually. We need to jealously guard our time with God and His Word. And we need to pour ourselves into that. When we talk with kids about what they learn in school, often you'll hear the phrase, "You get out what you put in." The same person can sit in the same classroom and learn nothing. A different person can sit there and learn so much from that teacher. And they can say, one can say, "He's a terrible teacher, he has nothing to give me." And the other one can say, "I've never had a class like this before." And it's the same professor, it's the same high school teacher. It's because of what they're putting into it. So if we're simply sitting down with Scripture and opening it and reading it and saying, how does that make me feel? That's going to give us one level of being grounded in Scripture. If we are taking it and we are opening it up and we are looking at, what do these words mean? Are there other translations for this? Is there something that I can see here that applies somewhere else in this author's writing? That's going to give us another deeper level of understanding. Memorization is good too. I have someone that I knew that was losing their eyesight, and their goal was to memorize as much scripture as they could so that they had it and they could see it when their eyesight was gone. How much are we committing to our memories? I'm not committing enough. I know that. So we need to be grounded in Scripture. We need to take the time to know the Word. Yes, know how it makes us feel. Know the joy of being a saved people. But also know why we're a saved people, how we're a saved people, and to be able to share that with others. And the last, and I think this is the most important, and it comes to something else that I'm going to begin attempting to implement, is to be steadfast in prayer. When's our time to pray together as a congregation on a monthly basis? Anybody? Huh? What? Second Tuesday. Okay. That's good. How many of us have never been there? Put a hand up. Come on. Never been to that meeting. Never been there. I've never been there. I know it's uncomfortable. Normally we say, who's been there? I want us to start to be a congregation. No, I don't want us to start. I want us to be a congregation that prays consistently. We're going to start having, I'll do it the old-fashioned way. We'll put it on a bulletin board. We're going to have a sign-up sheet, and each week we will have a night where we go from 6 o'clock in the evening until midnight. And I'm going to ask people to sign up for 15-minute slots. And I want us to be praying for the congregation. I want us to be praying for each other. I want us to be praying for evangelism. I want us to be praying for growth. I want us to be praying for a connection with this community. We've seen glimpses of it. We've seen, those of us who were here for Trunk or Treat, we saw people that were solely from the community around Southside coming through and interacting. Some of them staying longer than anyone has ever stayed for a Trunk or Treat. Hanging out and talking and sharing and just enjoying time with us. We've got to be praying for things like that. We've got to be praying for those opportunities and those openings. So, steadfast in prayer, I think, is the absolute most important part of all of this. Because we can put that plan in place. We can say we're going to stay free of those worldly traps. We are going to remain pure of heart. We're going to walk with God, and I am going to be good. And I am going to share the gospel. I'm going to teach other people. That's a great plan. That's a great thing to be committed to. But unless we are praying about it, again, it's going to stay on that paper. And eventually, we're either going to stop implementing it or we're never going to start. So, you may have, when we started singing, I have decided to follow Jesus before the lesson. What? Well, think about it. If you've decided something, if you're committed to it, you're not going to change your mind on that, are you? I mean, if you're a Packers fan and you're committed to being a Packers fan, no matter what happens tonight, it doesn't matter. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to be a Packers fan. You're either going to be elated or grumpy, but you're still going to be a Packers fan. The song after this lesson is We Believe. And it's not a song that we sing on a regular basis. But I want you to listen to the lyrics. And I want you to think about the lesson, having a plan, having a strategy, and having a mess of patience. When all we know, in this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear. Now, some people will read that and go, okay, wait a minute, that's not all I know. I agree, that's not all that I know. It's not all that we know as a people, but in the culture around us, doubt and fear is pretty much the only thing that you will find. There's only one foundation. Let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptations, we believe. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. This plan, this strategy, the patience that we pour into it can give us as a congregation, as a people, the ability to do that, to live loudly. Doesn't it feel good when someone recognizes Christ in your life? Not because of you, but because of God. Abby and Michael made their own Halloween costumes. And they were both Star Wars characters. Now, Abby's character, a lot of people may not recognize it. But I'll tell you, we went to Oconomowoc yesterday to spend time with Allison's mom. And as we were walking around downtown, I heard a parent of one of the kids go, oh, look at that. That's Ahsoka Tano. And I'll tell you, I was like, wow, that's really cool. They recognized who that is. How cool. How amazing if, as we're living our daily lives, someone looks at us and goes, oh, they're a Christian. They're a Christ follower. They belong to God in a positive frame. How amazing is that? How amazing that we are living in a way that glorifies Him to that extent. I believe that if we stay with this plan, pattern, poor Allison, normally I'm the one that's giving her the message that Patrick's almost done. I believe that if we stick with this plan and pattern, if we have this strategy, and we have the patience poured into it, that people will see us that way. I believe that people will want to be around us. I believe that people will want to worship here, that they will want to create other congregations that act and grow in the same way. And ultimately, that's our goal. Our goal isn't to get everybody here. I mean, that's kind of what the early church did. They had small groups that met, and then they met at the temple to worship together. But we want people to know God. I don't care where they worship. I want them to know God. And so, to do that, we're going to implement these things. I'm going to make sure that it happens. I want you to commit to this with me. I want you to buy into it. I want you to believe in it. Because it can work, and it will work. It's worked in other places. It's working throughout Africa, Central America, South America. This This program isn't just here. The guy that created it's from Australia. So believe with me. Commit to this. Commit yourselves to being people that others look at and go, I know they're a Christian. If you are willing to do that, I am so excited to walk alongside of you. If you are hurting right now and you need prayer, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. If you don't know Christ, I want you to know him. I want you to help you down that road. And if you just are so grateful to know God and to be his child, I want to celebrate that with you as well. We're going to sing We Believe to close out this time. I want us to stand up together, and I want us to sing truly believing, truly feeling these words.